Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. Talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop all your texts, all your voicemails. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, happy Friday to you. Very excited because we had the first opportunity to hear from our new general manager of the Chicago Bulls. That was Mark Eversley this morning, and happy to bring that to Bulls fans because I think people should be very excited from what they hear, at least initially from Eversley. But first and foremost, how are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy Friday. Happy May. Another month down while we're all in lockdown. It's crazy. It's like time is dragging and also flying. And this, I don't know, what is it, like day 50 without sports? But yeah, man, I'm excited that we got to hear from Mark Eversley. The Bulls made the announcement official yesterday, welcoming him to the organization, which I think means that now that we have Mark Eversley audio talking about the Bulls, we have to replace Gar in the intro, right? Like we are now seeing a different vibe, and I think it's time for Gar to go.
You can just see the vibe.
You don't like Gar's vibes?
Get the fuck out, Gar.
You can just see the vibe.
I think you're right.
Here in the Advocate Center.
I think Gar Foreman will always hold a special place on this Locked On Bulls podcast. And same thing with Jerry Reinsdorf, but Michael Reinsdorf and John Paxson. I can guarantee you that we're probably going to hear far less from John Paxson. Won't be hearing from Gar anymore, at least anytime soon. So I think you're right. I'm going to miss Gar, though. I will say that as far as his sound drops go.
Dude gave us a lot of content, Jordan. Dude gave us a lot of content. True. And most of it was us just, you know, dealing with higher and higher blood pressure as we ranted about this team that we love that lets us down. But I mean, content is content, and Gar certainly provided it.
Whether it be at his own expense or not. But yeah, I think the first thing that I thought of, Matt, when I was listening to this and just kind of the back and forth with Eversley and Karnisovas is, it felt like I was listening to a different organization just because I'm so used to what we were hearing all the time so often with this Bulls front office that it's a complete refresh for me, at least just being able to hear completely new voices, a completely different perspective, and through probably the last 3 weeks when hearing from Reinsdorf, hearing from Karnisovas a couple times, and now hearing from Eversley, I feel like there's a little bit more of a snapshot of immediate honesty as opposed to kind of just giving us blanket statements over and over again, which is refreshing again.
It is really refreshing. And maybe some of it is just actually hearing different voices and the names attached to those different voices being different names, because I think, the fan base is probably still just soaking this all in. Like I know some days I wake up and I still can't believe that this is real because of how long we waited for this day to arrive. But it definitely is refreshing because it's like the way I've always looked at it for a team that is such a large market team, for a team that's as globally and financially successful and recognizable as the Bulls, you know, they always are tagged as like a mom and pop shop organization, the way that they operate. And it's like some of the things that you hear AK and Eversley saying already are a great reminder, albeit a frustrating reminder, of just how behind the times the Bulls were. It's like, you know, we're in this crazy tech race, and it's like, okay, well, do you have the latest smartphone technology? Do you have 5G? And the Bulls are still like selling beepers out of a crummy old like tech store somewhere in a seedy part of town.
It gives me Better Call Saul vibes. I just think of this past season where, or maybe it was last season, where he had to pick up a part-time job and he was at a cell phone store and literally nobody was coming in. He wasn't making any money, no business. He was bored as hell. So he had to find different ways to sell these cheap-ass cell phones, go out in the corner and go late night serving up these burner phones. So that's what that reminds me of. But that's so spot on, so spot on. I don't know. Let's just get into it. Let's listen to Mark Eversley and we'll just kind of react after each talking points and kind of walk you guys through it. And again, if there's anything that you guys hear throughout this or heard that we didn't play or didn't touch on, make sure to tweet at us at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Maui, at Bulls _ Peck, or hit us up on our text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. Matt, I wanted to start with a very good question that kind of kicked off the entire Zoom conference, and it was about how Eversley feels like he's going to be different from Karnisovas. And I don't know if he was caught off guard at first about this question, but I feel like this is going to be kind of a reoccurring question over the next several months until we actually get basketball back. But here's Eversley's initial comments on that.
For me, getting to know Arturis and, you know, everything that he was about, you know, we definitely, like he said, we're basketball junkies. We love being in the gym. We love evaluating talent. We love growing teams. You know, I think, you know, my relationships is obviously something that I think I complement him well with. Again, my days at Nike and working for the teams that I've worked with, I think they're going to be a great complement to him and our staff, you know, moving forward. You know, in the teams that I've been with prior, we've always fostered healthy debate and communication. And, you know, after talking to Arturis, that's something that he welcomes. As long as you do it in a respectful way, I think, you know, you can do great things.
That's just one initial comment, Matt, that I think speaks volumes about Eversley. And the things that I kept hearing throughout that 50 seconds or so were relationships, kind of how he fosters those, what he's going to be bringing over to the Bulls, and how that sort of complements Karnisovas, but a lot of similarities too with both of these guys. And I think Eversley can be more of your front-facing person every day as far as those relationships go. And it sounds weird to say it like this, but it's almost like what the Bulls had envisioned for Gar way back when was be kind of the relationships guy, be the guy that's going to go talk to the GMs, to the agents, to the players, to the scouts, all of those people. That didn't work out so well for the Bulls, but hopefully with this, Eversley will be that guy that it works out and he brings relationships with him, not burns bridges like some others have.
Yeah, saying it didn't work out well for Gar is an understatement.
It's being nice.
And it's the stuff that drives Bulls fans crazy that they had, you know, that they shoved down, you know, shoved into our ear holes over the last several years, talking about the culture, right? The culture that we're so proud of in our building. And it's about trust and communication. And we heard that same speech when they kicked Tibbs out of town and replaced him with Fred. And then basically what was the entire Fred Hoiberg era about? Poor communication and a lack of trust in every direction. It's so two-faced and hollow that when you actually hear it from new people brought in, it's like my instinct reaction is skepticism, because like even though this is coming from new voices, I'm like, heard that before, heard this organization say that before, you know, things about communication and transparency. Transparency is another word that AK used in this conference call with the media that Eversley was on to be introduced. And it's like, The Bulls front office over the last, I don't know, decade has been the opposite of transparent when it comes to the way that they communicate with the media and their fans. And I think this is a fresh start in that regard.
It's really well put again. I think the idea of transparency is something we've screamed and yelled about for, what, almost 3 years now. That's something that we've asked time and time again with. If you want fans to be fair, if you want the media to be fair, the transparency, the honesty, whether it be good or bad, needs to come out. And the more you kind of right. try to cover that up, the bigger it explodes. So, I'm 100%
with
you,
Eversley. If you're not happy with the rebuild, just try drinking bleach and see if that helps.
Come on, man.
let's hear, just kind of backing off of that, or piggybacking off of that. I thought it was really good to hear his background with Nike and why that's so important. So here's Joe Cowley kind of asking him about that. And I would hope for a city like Chicago, we could kind of get behind somebody who's worked their ass off for many, many years to get to the point that he's at. And he kind of explains why that's still important to him today. So let's hear from him about that.
Real quick, I mean, you brought up the Nike background, and that's been referenced a lot. And I just know, just from dealing with Nike guys, that's a grind, and that's a hustle. How important was that time for you as far as building relationships with guys, building relationships with their camps, their family, age, all that kind of stuff?
Simply put, it was critical. I'm still extremely close to a lot of the guys at Nike today. You know, really, that really taught me, you know, the true value of connecting the dots is what we used to say is, you know, relationships move the needle in this business, and it really starts at the grassroots. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to work at Nike at a time when, you know, LeBron James and players like that were coming up through the system. And, you know, it really taught me the value of relationships, you know, and again, it taught me the value of a brand, really. You know, Nike's one of the most powerful brands in the world. And, you know, to Arturis's story from, you know, last Saturday night, you know, back then the Bulls were one of the strongest brands in the NBA. And it's my hope that I can take some of the lessons that I've learned at Nike and implement them here with Chicago as a goal to get the Chicago Bulls back to relevancy and get that brand back to where it's cool again and kids want to be part of it. You know, that's one of my goals for sure.
Man, I think the cool factor never disappeared from the Bulls in terms of like branding, especially like clothing, hats, shoes. That type of marketing has been super easy since Jordan, since the 90s era dynasty. And especially now with the 10 series documentary out right now, it's going to be even easier to sell Bulls merch. I think more from the perspective of it's cool to be a Bulls fan now. It's not painful to be a Bulls fan. It's not you're being laughed at when you wear a Bulls uniform out, or people don't associate the jersey that you're wearing with Cristiano Felicio or Campaign or Gar Foreman or whoever it may be. It's about getting back to associating it with winning and with championships and with actual respect around the league and for the fan bases around the league, understanding that Chicago should be a staple in the NBA, not just talked about it in the past. And I think that's really important coming from a huge brand like you talked about with Nike, and Nike's impact on basketball has been massive over the last 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, well put. Simply just stating the goal of making the Bulls brand cool again. You know, it shouldn't be a hard job if they just start putting better basketball product on the floor. Because as you pointed out, even when this team has been downright shitty through the 3 years of this rebuild, they're still, and yes, it started to sag off, especially this season. And you saw it with the attendance numbers as well. But still, as far as merch goes, man, Michael Jordan and that dynasty turned the Bulls brand into one of the coolest brands on the planet. Everybody rocks Jordans. Everybody rocks Bulls gear of all kinds, hats, jerseys, t-shirts, hoodies. It's everywhere. It's even everywhere in the city when the team is bad, because it's a brand, and it's a brand that was once associated with greatness, and greatness in sport. And I think that someone in, you know, someone with Everly's background working, you know, in that industry for Nike for all those years is certainly wise to how powerful that can be. Because, and as also you pointed out with this documentary going on right now, it's like, man, like, remember when the Bulls were cool? And the fan base has just been clamoring for, as Everly put it, to get the organization back to relevancy again. Because when the Bulls, as we've witnessed throughout our entire lives, are even somewhat relevant, the fan base comes out in droves. And, you know, the Rhinosaurs can keep making money based on the famousness of that brand, but they finally took the step that they needed to, you know, make the correction of, well, the brand is no longer just standing up by itself, because what the brand is being represented as on the court fucking stinks. So this is the part where we try to fix that.
I think it's important to like hearing it to and understanding it coming in day one, understanding how angry the fan base or I guess just how lethargic the fan base is at this point too. And, you know, kind of understanding all of that, I think, is very, very key. And again, like, I don't know how many times it can be stated, but I can back a guy that's busted his ass the way that Eversley has. I mean, going from a retail store manager somewhere in Canada at a Nike store to build yourself all the way up to the point that you're at one of the most powerful positions in the NBA in any organization, to be kind of given the keys, especially to a brand as successful as the Bulls have been over the last 30 years, I think is a huge opportunity and one that I don't think he knows. I don't think he's going to take this lightly. So I think he feels a lot of pressure there, but I also feel like there's a lot of confidence to make this thing better than it was over the last 10, 15 years. So that's what makes me excited the most as well. Matt, before we get to some of the Jim Boylan stuff and some of the stuff about the actual team, I thought it was important to hear from Eversley and from Karnisovas being asked about what it meant to both of them for Eversley to be the first black GM of the Bulls.
It means a lot. You know, I take pride in that. I think it's a tremendous responsibility. You know, I am a black man. You know, I'm in a leadership position now in a city with so many black youths. You know, I see this as a great opportunity. I think being visible is going to be important. I think being invested is going to be important. I think this position with the Bulls provides me with resources to help drive some change. You know, we can all do better. I intend to do more, and I welcome those types of opportunities to become a role model for a lot of the young youth, both boys and girls, in the city.
Thank you, Mark. And Arturis, just as the follow-up, I would like, it was reported early in April that you were seeking a black general manager. Why was that important to you, and what ultimately made you feel confident that Mark was the right person?
Well, it's our responsibility, you know, falls on our shoulders to seek diversity and divergence, you know, through a hiring process. So I thought the list that I put together was really good. And, you know, I took time in interviewing them all. And, you know, the luxury that I have is many years being in our league and league office and being around the personnel to get to know him personally. So, I mean, it was a great experience for me, and I'm so glad we settled on Mark.
I liked that answer from both of them too, and the understanding and awareness too, I think, of the demographic around Chicago as well, in understanding where a lot of the majority of the fan base comes locally. And, you know, obviously the Bulls are an international brand too. You speak to any of our listeners that don't live here in the United States, they talk about the Bulls, and people think about Chicago, the first thing that think of is Jordan. But for the locals here, we understand what the demographic is around Chicago. And I think Mark Eversley and both Karnisovas too kind of understand that as well. So I thought it was good on them, and I'm really excited for them to get ready to work.
Absolutely. And man, it just kind of one of those moments where it hits me, because you know we're listening to excerpts of a Bulls front office, you know, press conference, albeit remote, and you hear Eversley's voice, which you're getting used to, and then AK chimes in, and I'm like, oh my God, it is so nice to not hear John Paxson's voice. We're listening to a front office press conference, and John Paxson's voice is not in it. God, that's refreshing. I got so sick of that dude's voice, man.
There are many intangibles.
God damn it, Jordan.
Gar is absolutely safe.
I think
yes.
It's very important that Eversley is aware of that, because it's an element of, like, for the black youth of the city of Chicago, having a person in that position of power for the first time in this organization's history is a groundbreaking step as far as being a progressive, forward-thinking organization that is aware of their surroundings. Because there's always been this kind of label in the NBA, albeit it's slowly starting to shift finally, that it's like the owners are the owners, and they're called that reason, and the players are owned and you play for us. Yes, we pay you and we pay you handsomely, but we own you. And there are certainly racial sensitivities connected to such labels when you realize that the NBA is what, 75-80% black as far as the population of players, and not a whole lot of black executives, which has been a big heavy point of conversation in recent years. And certainly the same could be said for a lack of black owners in this league. So when talking about the youth of Chicago, or, you know, black youth anywhere who are Bulls fans, it's like you can't, it's you can have dreams other than, well, I want to make it to the NBA and I want to be an NBA star, because there are other paths and other opportunities. As Everly and the Bulls have collectively finally proved, because this is new. It's new for the organization, and it's still a fairly new trend across the league, which, you know, is still something that all of us are wondering, like, why are there not more minority executives, minority owners? And, you know, there's a very heavy, like, you know, racial aspect to this league and how and who the players are and who the owners and executives are. So in that sense, I am thrilled that AK put this as an element of emphasis on his search.
I think the understanding too that the players have more power than ever they've ever had too in a league that right. They have more power than ever before. You look around the NFL, the players in the NFL don't have as much power. They're trying to push back and act sort of like the NBA, but it doesn't come without consequences. And same thing with the MLB. The MLB is probably the farthest behind all of them, or the NHL with their smaller salary cap, but still, the power of the players is huge right now in the NBA. And everybody who pays attention to this knows this. I'm not saying anything that's not new, but the idea that you're bringing somebody in that understands that, you're bringing two guys in that understand that and aren't pushing back on that idea, I think is fantastic.
And this is coming at a time when, like, you know, great timing. We're all revisiting the Scottie Pippen contract drama.
Right.
And the label of this organization being cheap. And even in recent years, plenty of examples of this organization putting their loyalty behind anyone but the players. You know, our loyalty is not behind Jimmy Butler. It's behind Fred Hoiberg. Our loyalty is not behind any of these players. It's behind John Paxson and Gar Forman. And the fan base is sick of that. And it's so obtuse to the way that the rest of the league is trending, which, as you said, it is a players league. And Eversley said stuff about that in this interview. It's like, man, you got to wake up and put players first. Players come first is what he said. Never in the Reinsdorf era has such a thing been said and or believed within the walls of the buildings that this organization owns and operates. Never has that been the case. They have put the players last. They put Michael Jordan and Scottie freaking Pippen, six-time NBA champions, last, and put loyalty behind management instead.
Look at some of the things that they did to their more recent players, like arguing back and forth about contracts, which is normal for NBA teams, but I mean, picking and choosing who they decided because of relationships, I also think made a weird dynamic for things. Also pushing players and you know, the spying thing going on too is just very bizarre, and it eluded a lot of lack of trust from players that were coming in, especially hearing all those stories of recently too. But yeah, like you had mentioned, all the stuff that we're reliving right now through the Last Dance documentary is highlighting that, I think, for a lot of younger fans too. And this is good. This is going to set up the younger fans to understanding what was in the past and what we're looking forward to in the future. And I think it's an eye opener for anybody that's in their mid 20s or early 30s who kind of had a taste of that Jordan era but didn't ever get to actually experience any of that and had to live through all this pain for the 20 years or plus where it was ups and downs of a lot. So I really, really like that answers from both AK and from Eversley so far. We want to get to some stuff about the actual team, not only from Eversley, but also on Boylan as well. And then I have a funny quote to kind of wrap things up, Matt. But I want to remind our listeners about our sponsor for today's episode, and that's Postmates. Postmates is your number one place for ordering food, while staying at home, staying safe. I know everybody's still locked up in this quarantine. Right now, the stay-at-home order in Illinois is still extended till May 30th. But that doesn't mean you don't have to eat. You can't eat out. Maybe you're sick of cooking three times a day or four times a day, whatever it may be. From an early morning breakfast burrito or a 12-pack of beer while you're watching The Last Dance. Sometimes you just need what you need delivered and you need it fast. That's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you're probably starting to think about what to eat for dinner. Tonight's a Friday night. It's a perfect night to order out, whether it be pizza, Chinese, burgers. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to your door. Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs, and you can be 100% safe by ordering with Postmates and not having to even step foot outside your door. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download the Postmates app on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA. The code, once again, LOCKEDONNBA for $100 off of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. So Matt, let's get into him talking about Jim Boylan. He was asked twice about it, first early on and then a follow-up about 15 minutes into the press conference. So let's start with the first answer about Jim Boylan.
To your point, it is really early. Coach and I did have a conversation earlier in the week where he called to congratulate me on accepting the position. You know, just like anything else in our staff, we are going to utilize – you know, our time to evaluate everybody on staff, you know, not only players, coaches, but also people in the front office as well. So, you know, I've spoken to Coach. We had a really great conversation, and I'm looking forward to spending time with him in Chicago when we're afforded that opportunity.
Were you surprised at all Jim Boylan reached out?
No, absolutely not. And at first I was like, man, I'm, you know, surprised that we didn't get the official Jim Boylan press release from Bulls letterhead welcoming him.
I forgot about that. Oh my God.
For existing just like he did with AK, which was like, and then I was like, wait, no, I could totally believe that Boylan didn't do it a second time because he got rightly eviscerated by media and fans for that stunt, which everyone quickly and easily identified as a desperate plea of, hey, look at me. I'm still significant. I'm still relevant. It's, you know, a guy who's clearly knowing that that people are breathing down his neck and that his days are numbered. It was like, well, I would like to officially welcome AK and once again praise the Reinsdorfs and John Paxson for their wonderful way of handling. I mean, it was such a bad look, man. So, no, I'm not surprised that he reached out to Eversley, and I'm also not surprised that he opted to forego the press release this time.
But, I'm not going to dispute you on that. You're right.
The same way that AK has, which is they're going to take their time with this. They're going to actually wait to evaluate everyone, players and coaches. And I think that they want to get in a gym and see how Jim Boylan handles things and also talk to some of these players about their coach and the coaching staff. So, I mean, I'm still coasting on easy street, Jordan. I don't know about you. I have a 0% worry that when the Bulls are playing basketball again, with an asterisk on, in the very unlikely scenario where they actually come back and play some regular season games this season, maybe they still have Boylan around to do a little bit of evaluating. But the next time the Bulls start a new NBA season, I have 0% worry that Jim Boylan will still be the coach.
I think people understand what we're trying to build. I think people can see that too.
I think Zach LaVine's not worried either, Matt. If you listen to him and they asked him a few questions, he did like a one-on-one film session with NBA TV on, I think that was Wednesday night. Didn't say a whole lot, was just kind of breaking down his 11 three-pointer game in Charlotte, but did seem in high spirits. And also, I heard Alex Kennedy too, who did a one-on-one interview with him earlier on in the week for Hoops Hype, talk about, said he seemed like in really, really great spirits about the front office, the changes that were being made, the idea that things are changing. And it seems like there wasn't a whole lot of doubt that Jim Boylan is going to be relieved of his duties, or it didn't seem like there was a lot of pushback and worry from the side of Zach LaVine when asked about that, or when we asked Alex Kennedy about that. So I'm not worried at all, man. I know people keep saying that the Jim Boylan firing isn't going to happen. It may not happen now. It may not happen for 2 months. It may not happen till September. But I think before the Bulls start next season, 2021 season, we're not going to see Jim Boylan again. We're going to see a brand new head coach here, because otherwise all these moves are for nothing. Matt, all of these moves in the short term are for absolutely nothing.
Right. Which is it's fairly simple to understand. And is also, in my opinion, at least fairly simple to understand why there is a pause right now. Because I still see these Bulls fans on Twitter, and like, I don't know about you, but I certainly have felt a lighter step with all of the refreshing feelings of these new voices and a fresh start. And I still see Bulls fans on Twitter being like, well, still got to fire Jim. Still got to fire Jim. Why haven't they fired Jim? Why haven't they fired Jim? And I'm like, man, take a breath and actually appreciate something positive for once, and have faith that the new people that were brought in to fix this garbage are going to throw some of that garbage out. And that garbage being Jim Boylan, that it's simple. And here is a summation from AK as part of this press conference or Zoom conference, I should say, about what they're doing and the timeline at which they're doing it. And this is from Casey Johnson. Karnišovas said front office hirings and player development and scouting departments have been priority over the decision on coaching staff because, quote, we are limited right now in what we can do without being in the practice facility. That makes sense. And Eversley also said, we owe it to everyone on staff to get to Chicago and meet them face to face. It's far too early to make any of those type of decisions until we get to Chicago. This is people who are professionals that have been in this business a long time, who know the X's and O's of how to do things properly. And you can call it lip service. You can call it whatever you want, but this is the correct way to handle it. And kicking Jim out of town before they even shake hands with the guy, like actually physically shake hands with the guy and have a conversation with him face to face, it would be a bad look. You know, and that's something the Bulls are trying to get past right now, is years and years of a bad look. So that's all it is, in my opinion. Bulls fans, you know, take that load off your mind. Take that worry off your mind. Jim's gonna go. It's just a matter of when that right time comes.
It's like how they always tell you, don't do a breakup over text. Like, that's the worst way you could possibly do things. So it's the most petty, too. It's kind of like the most disrespectful in some ways way to break up with your significant other. And I think Eversley and Karnišovas have hit on both of this both times in comparison to like firing Gar Forman. And obviously Gar Forman didn't get canned until he had a conversation with Karnišovas, and Karnišovas said we had different philosophies. So that's when we saw the paths should go different ways. And I think Eversley in this aspect wants to do the same thing with Boylan. Let him have a conversation with me face to face. Let him spill his guts, see what he thinks that this team should be doing, what he thinks he can deliver for us. And if it's good enough, maybe we think about it. If it's not, which I don't think it's going to be, then we say, you know what, we've got different philosophies. Thanks for your time, Jim, but we're going to move in a completely different path. I think that is fair to say. And I think it also it gives Eversley a little bit of respect and a little bit more credit right away for Boylan if he does end up firing him. And maybe buys you a little bit of credit too with any coach that you're going to bring in right away. It's like, at least he was willing to hear people out before he just came in here and took the torch to pretty much everything in here. He at least gave him a chance to kind of explain himself. So I think they're going to do that with Boylan. Here's Eversley kind of just summing that up as well.
You know, I think we owe it to everybody on staff to get to Chicago and meet them face to face. I think we owe it to our players to hopefully get to evaluate them in practice settings, playing settings, you know, and we owe it to our staff to see them in those types of settings as well. I just think it's far too early to make any of those types of decisions with respect to anybody on the staff, you know, until we get to Chicago.
It's a good point. And I don't disagree with him at all on that, Matt. And so that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, I'm not worried at all. The last thing I wanted to kind of touch on here, Matt, before we get out of here for the weekend, was AK specifically talking about the roles in which the front office is going to play, how things are going to, how work is going to be divided up. And actually, before we get to that, there's another point too. Let's go to Eversley real quick. I'm talking about winning culture, player development, and everything that he saw coming into this job and things that he may want to change.
Sure. You know, one of my mottos is players first. I think you have to create a players first mentality. And I agree with you. You know, we were the second youngest team in the NBA last year. And I really believe it starts with a foundation of player development. Through player development, you know, that's really when we can see what kind of players we have on our roster. You know, I was surprised to find that, you know, there was one player development coach on the staff. You know, I was, as I was doing my research for this job, you know, that's a hell of a job for one person to take on. You know, it's going to be one of my tenets to try and figure out our player development system. You know, there's a lot of key areas within it, you know, skill development, physical development, mental enhancement. But with that, you need to hire people to help support that. So we're going to do, you know, a pretty diligent job in terms of looking for, you know, the proper staff to bring in here to work with our young guys. But player development is going to be a tremendous focus for this organization moving forward.
Matt, you and I both know what we highlighted most out of this.
I loved it. I was surprised to find there was one player development coach on the staff as I was doing my research for this job.
That's a
hell of a job for one person to take on. Right there, in print, evidence of the Bulls being a Stone Age organization. Thank God we are finally crawling into the present. And it's like, we've all, as a fan base, been wondering, like, we keep hearing, yes, the Bulls front office is small, but they believe in it. And they trust each other. And it's they're very confident in the way that they operate as a front office. It's smaller than normal, but they're efficient. And just like, with what proof? And maybe if you're the only ones saying, well, we're going to keep this a tight circle, the circle of trust, and everybody else is expanding upon more jobs, expansive roles in research and development and player development and all these things in these other organizations in a time when there are so many avenues you can take to put the best foot forward for your organization about winning basketball and the age of analytics and this and that. And the Bulls are still just like, you know, spinning a wheel with a stick. And we're all just sitting here saying, like, what? Why are you still spinning a wheel with a stick? There's, you know, there's Twitch. Go play Twitch. It's crazy to me, but it was amazing validation for an outsider to come in here and say, y'all had one person on player development. And as Everly pointed out, which is even more important, on the second youngest roster in the league, you got one point person for player development? The fuck is that? It's like, I'm sure Eversley didn't mean it to be a burn, but every Bulls fan heard that and thought, burn. Where have you been, Bulls?
The truth
Living
hurts.
With your heads in the goddamn sand.
We studied the options.
The truth hurts, Matt. And sometimes you just got to be real. And again, it goes back to the thing I just said at the beginning of the episode is trust starts with honesty. And he was honest. And that's what we care about. Whether you're knocking Gar Foreman and John Paxson for the jobs that they did before this or realize some of the weaknesses that they had here, things that surprised you, whatever the case may be, just be honest. And I think it starts with that. It starts exactly with this.
You know, I was surprised to find that, you know, there was one player development coach on the staff.
Like, that is just, it's absurd. I guess they thought Jim Boylan was going to be able to develop at all 50. Remember, Jim Boylan says we got 15 guys to develop?
Right. Yeah. Well, and this is coming on the heels of that that little tidbit I think that we got from Casey Johnson earlier this week that was something about Gar had been relegated to just scouting. So, you know, Jim Boylan is relieved for Eversley's arrival because it will take some of the burden of managerial duties off of Jim's shoulders. And Bulls fans were all like, whoa, 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 back up, time out. Jim Boylan was given managerial duties that they took away from Gar? Are you freaking kidding me? Like, this is the reality that we were living in. My God. And the other phrase that I thought back to when I heard that from Eversley was one of the first things that Karnišovas said in one of his first interviews, was addressing the blind spots in this organization that is so vastly and obviously behind the times. And it's just like, yeah, there's a big old blind spot for you.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. Yeah, the Jim Boylan stuff is GM and taking on managerial responsibilities is just hilarious. Hilarious to me. But finally, let's wrap up with hearing from Karnišovas on how they plan on kind of splitting those responsibilities as around the front office as they continue to bring people in.
How do you guys envision maybe handling the division of labor, both maybe internally and externally? Obviously, you guys both have well-versed relationships throughout the league. I mean, do you kind of view your role as kind of the main philosophical overseer while Mark deals with agents and trade negotiations, or is it something that will evolve? And then also externally, like, who's going to deal with us clowns? Like, will it be a shared responsibility? Will you be the point person for media? Will Mark be the point person for media? I'm just kind of curious how you envision that playing out.
Well, I think with you clowns, like you said, you know, we're going to, both of us will deal with you. I mean, I like this vision, and, you know, a lot of his ideas come from the way we're going to structure a lot of internal processes. You know, the luxury that we have with our, you know, current hires is that we're coming from a lot of different programs, and we can take the best scouting practices and how we look at evaluating players, you know, how we're looking at player development. You know, we're coming from a lot of different teams. So that's a luxury, I think, to bring the best practices in place, and we can implement that, we can build that. So I think we're going to share our responsibilities. We're going to, you know, hear each other out and make a decision, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, in terms of dealing with media, I think it's going to be a lot of times me, a lot of times him. I think we're going to share that responsibility as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Who's going to deal with us clowns?
That was my favorite. So we're going to hear from both of them, which is good. I think it's good to hear from both guys. And I don't think one person should be running point in terms of front facing all the time, especially if you both have the personalities and the ability to go out there and not make yourself look like a complete fool, which I have a lot of confidence in Karnišovas and Eversley to be able to carry the Bulls in a manner like that, as opposed to previously.
Yeah. Like I was just saying earlier, I just got so sick of hearing John Paxson's voice, because that's all we heard.
Right.
And we were sick of hearing the same shit coming out of it. But, and before that, Bulls fans got sick of listening to Gar. And I'm pretty sure that the Reinsdorfs and John also got sick of listening to Gar, because he kept putting his foot in his mouth. But yeah, I'm glad that they're dividing that part of the job up, just to keep things fresh, and also to just hear multiple perspectives on things. And I, you know, I think to further that point about Casey's question of the breakup of the duties of this job, is that, you know, these are the two men with the two highest titles in this front office overhaul, but there have already been other officials that have been made, or other hires that have been made official, and there are probably still more on the way as they build out all of the, as I said, blind spots in this front office and in this organization. Because you already brought in JJ Polk from the Pelicans to be your cap guru. You brought in Pat Connolly to help AK with the player development, to help Eversley with the player development. And as they said, you know, we still have to get to Chicago and meet this staff, coaching staff, training staff, and everybody involved to evaluate, okay, what does this person bring to the table? And do we want to keep them around? And is there a vacancy at this position? Do we have to create a new position? And then finding people for those positions. Like, this is just the beginning of, you know, it is the breaking point of a tidal wave, hopefully, of new hires as they all assess what needs to be done.
It's a good point. I think that's the best way to end things here. I mean, the way that Casey answered or asked that question made me think a lot. Okay, is he looking for them to see if they're going to do things similar to what the way that Gar and John broke things up? And by the response we got, I felt like it was completely different from the way that responsibilities were split up among this front office over the last several years. So I thought it was a really well asked question. And again, I got everything that I needed, at least initially. There's nothing else that they can really do or say really at this moment right now, with still the NBA season being on pause. I think the juicier stuff that we're going to want to hear about, whether it be the draft, whether it be trading the trading players, going out and signing players, how they're going to deal with all the offseason decisions and moves, we're not going to get that until we get a firm date on whether the NBA is going to cancel the season entirely or they're going to go ahead with the playoffs. So, and I don't know when that's going to be, considering some states are opening up their doors today and allowing teams to go back to their practice facilities, and some teams aren't. Like the Bulls, if they were in the playoffs right now, they wouldn't be able to train. The Lakers and the Clippers, I read just from The Athletic this morning, aren't allowed to train. So, but you got teams that are playoff bound in some states that are allowed to go back and train as of next week. So it's going to be weird. We still have no idea what's going on with the season, so we won't get those juicy details until we have an idea of when the season is officially over.
Yeah, and it's an interesting, and it's a weird feeling for Bulls fans right now, or at least I'm finding it to be very weird, but in a good way, that I'm now impatient about what comes next, because, you know, we've been waiting so long for this, Jordan, like so long, and we finally get it, and the world is on lockdown for a global pandemic, and it's just like, oh, come on. Like, even things like getting excited about, you know, figuring out, like, we don't know if and when the draft lottery will happen. I mean, obviously, at some point, it will happen, but it probably won't be the big event, just like the NFL draft was not the big event as normal. But then, you know, thinking about, all right, where are the Bulls picking? Who are the prospects that we're looking at? Like, the next steps of offseason, fresh start, new season, player evaluation, you know, overhaul a coaching staff, all these things that we have to look forward to, and we're just in this indefinite pause. And it's such a tease, because I think for the most part, Bulls fans are so excited to be excited about this team again. As you said earlier, it got to a point where most of it wasn't even anger anymore. It was just complete ambivalence. A fan base that had just said, you know, throw my hands up. I give walk away. I can't. I don't care. And it's, you know, I walked into NBC every night this past season, 65 games, you know, and as the season progressed, somewhere between anger and ambivalence. It was, you know, depending on my mood, it was one or the other. And as we were getting into March to try and grind out this awful season, it was just like, I don't want to watch. I'm going to watch because it's my job, but I have zero desire to watch this team play basketball, because of the things that they have forced us to watch this season and through the 3 years of this rebuild. And now we finally are looking forward to the next step, and we're just in a holding pattern. It's really frustrating, but at the same time, it's nice to be frustrated that things aren't happening faster, as opposed to just wishing that things were over, because that's how Bulls fans who were, you know, God bless them, still tuned in, kind of feeling. As that season progressed, like when the league shut down at global pandemic, the NBA has suspended its season. I was relieved. I was like, please tell me I don't have to watch this shit team play 17 more times. And now it's a totally different vibe, man. And I'm so excited.
It's a hell of a lot different than, I mean, I don't know what's better, watching Felicio and whatever his name is, Walton Jr. and fucking whoever the hell,
Walt Lemon Jr.
Oh my God, Walt Lemon Jr. and Timothy Luwawu Cabarro out there.
DLC, oh, baby. My God.
That I think, Matt, the honestly 2018-2019 season was more brutal to sit through because of all of the ups and mostly downs, just continuously hitting a different rock bottom every single month, every single week, sometimes every single day, than this season was. I think this season from the get-go, a lot of people were just like, you know what, I'm kind of excited, playoff maybe. And then after the first 2 weeks where we had like half the season was over because there was all those injuries, everybody's like, you know what, fuck the Bulls, I'm out. Injuries again, of course, classic. Jim Boylan blowing games, classic. So felt like people tuned out of this season a lot quicker than they did the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, if the Bulls season ends how it ends, well, once again, they're slotted for seventh in the draft lottery, but, you know, could have been worse. As you said, 18-19 was rough. you know, you mentioned a couple of those other, you know, TLC and Walt Lemon Jr. and all those guys. You know who I hadn't thought about in a while? Sean Kildraffick.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. And Quincy Pondexter and who else? Who's the dude that's on? Who's the dude Zach LaVine dunked on? Like, that was the first iconic dunk he's had. I shouldn't say iconic, but yeah, posterized.
Jakar.
Yeah, Jakar Sampson. Who had actually
Jakar.
He had a nice season with the Pacers. But yeah, just like watching those guys play for like a third
Jakar
of the
Sampson
season.
And Brandon Sampson. Remember when we had two Sampsons?
The Sampsons. Oh my God. What a squad. What a squad. Those years will. My kids will ask me in 20 years what it was like watching Bulls basketball then, and I don't know how I'll explain it to them. A very dark period of sports for me, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say, Jordan, that we hit rock bottom, and we're still technically there right now, but the next step is going to be up, not down. It's a really exciting feeling.
I was going to say the same thing. I think we're still at 20,000 below sea level, 20,000 feet below sea level. But finally, we've finally seen the rope, and somebody's tossed it to us, and it's taken this much time climbing our way back out. So with that, I think that's going to about do it here for Locked On Bulls. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance are coming out on Sunday, so very excited to come back on Monday and talk about that. Matt, we've got a couple big guests for next week. I don't think I want to spoil them yet, so make sure you're subscribed.
Nah, dude, let's leave them hanging.
Absolutely. Make sure you're subscribed. I'm not going to tell you really what day it's going to come out either, but two big guests to bring on next week on top of The Last Dance to talk about everything else you guys want to talk about. So hit us up on 331-979-1369 if you get a question, you want to drop a voicemail, you've got some thoughts on what Eversley had to say today or over in the next couple days. I know he's going to do some media tour stuff over the next week or so, so we'll probably get some more good information from him as well. But 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Thanks to Postmates for sponsoring today's show again. That's Locked On NBA, the promo code for $100 off free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days. That's Postmates. Download the app. Use the promo code Locked On NBA. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you guys on Monday. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
You know, I was surprised to find that, you know, there was one player development coach on the staff.
Come on, man.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com